Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SPTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling, a very busy this week world of professional wrestling, at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Let's get right to the crux, the main news. Daniel Bryan signs with AEW, and very, very strong indication that CM Punk is about to do the same and that they've come to an actual agreement. It's just a matter of him putting his name on the contract once he arrives. In other words, they have come to the terms of the contract. He just hasn't physically signed it yet. That's what I'm hearing. That is huge news, obviously. We had speculated on this show for a while that if Daniel Bryan were to go to AEW, not only okay, sorry about that, folks. Apparently, we had a bad connection here. So let me start again and just say this. We had speculated for a long time that if Daniel Bryan was to, in fact, sign with AEW, that would be a huge, massive signing and a huge loss for WWE. Because Daniel Bryan is that type of person that he's going to get his in-ring time. He's going to do what he wants to do, which includes apparently wrestling in Japan. That's why he signed with AEW. He's going to do what he wants to do. But at the end of the day, you're going to get a creative source. You're going to get somebody who's going to work with younger talent. You're going to get someone who's going to give advice to younger talent. You're going to get someone who's going to give creative ideas. You're going to get a long-term asset to your federation. And a good one. And they did. Now, the CM Punk thing, let me give my take on it, because it could be very good or it could be very bad. CM Punk is a bit of a divisive character in this respect. He's not just divisive with fans, where some fans love him and some fans hate him. That's typical, and it really, there's no concern one way or the other. Can he add something to the show? Absolutely. Here is the problem, in my opinion, with CM Punk. CM Punk has always been a selfish person. The show is about him. CM Punk is not going to be a long-term asset where he's going to say, I'm going to stick around and help younger talent, and I'm going to put this guy over, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. He's not going to do that. I'm telling you right now, he's not going to do it. He's going to walk in that dressing room with the attitude, I'm the big star now. And I just wonder how AEW roster is going to take that, because that is going to be his attitude. And right now, you have a very well-functioning ship. And I know he's a big name, but I don't know if you want to rock the boat. And if CM Punk comes in with a chip on his shoulder, says, I'm not dropping matches to this guy, I'm not even wrestling this guy, I want 100% creative control of my character, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that, and other workers see that, especially younger workers. They're going to say, well, then that's normal. When I get to a certain level, that's normal. That's what I'm going to do. Or they're going to resent it and say, look, I know this guy's a big name, but at the end of the day, he hasn't been around for a long time. I thought this was about future stars and everything, not about building his ego. So I do think they have to be careful. Now, maybe CM Punk has changed his mind since he's gotten his ass kicked in UFC fights twice in a row, and I know one of them was retracted for drugs. It doesn't matter. He was losing that fight. If he can be a team player, which I have never known him to be, then yeah, he's going to add to the ratings. You know, there's going to be a ratings boost. But let me run this by you too. There may be a time when AEW wants to slow this down a little bit, and I'll tell you why. We just got, like, Christian Cage, right? You've done nothing much. Phil put him around here and there. He's not on TV a lot. We just got Aleister Black. We just got several people. Now we just got Daniel Bryan. And just got CM Punk. You only have so much television time. You have 3 hours a week. And there's going to be people whose spots are going to be taken. And I wonder with these upgrades, whose spots are going to be taken. Because at the end of the day, regardless of how great Daniel Bryan is, and he is great, and how arguably good or bad CM Punk is, and I would be the guy to tell you, I don't think he's amazingly talented. He's good on the mic sometimes. And he's pretty predictable and not, in my opinion, not that much fun to watch in the ring, but that's just my opinion. If he's going to take a lot of TV time away from your up-and-coming guys that you were going to promote, at the end of the day, these guys are in their 40s. Okay? You can't look at them long-term. That's why Daniel Bryan is a good pickup. He'll wrestle, but he's not going to be a greedy guy. He's going to be the guy who says, I'll wrestle here, I'll wrestle there, I'll drop a match to this guy, I don't care to promote this guy. He understands the business and he respects the business and says, look, at this stage of my career, I'm not here to win major championships and get over on other guys. I'm here to build up talent and also maybe to educate some of your younger guys on the way to do things. He gets it. CM Punk is not going to do that. I'm telling you, he's not going to do it. He's going to be the guy with the chip on the shoulder that walks in and says, the star is here, out of my way. And I don't know if that's going to fly. And again, when you have too many people, you get to this point where you say, all right, well, so-and-so has been signed. I've seen him twice in a month and a half. How much can I really relate to him if he's not on television every week? Sometimes you're better off having a relatively small but very good roster. This is, again, the WWE did the same thing. They had so many people, you don't even see them. And then they end up cutting them loose because they're like, well, we just never used them. AEW's getting to that point. They get to that point where how many do you need? You got a lot of people on your roster now, a lot. And eventually you're going to have to cut some. And then what happens? Fans are going to say, oh, you cut some 24-year-old kid to make room for 50-year-old, 48-year-old man? I don't know. I don't know where that's going, Mike. I mean, it's certainly big news, and it's certainly immediately good news and positive news for AEW, but I do think they have to watch their step here on this.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, I get what you're saying about Daniel Bryan. Okay, I get that, okay? CM Punk, as you said, is a selfish person, but here's something else. Could they also be getting, if they sign him, could they also be getting his wife, you know? And if they do get his wife, she would definitely add to that women's division.
Well, speaking of adding to the women's division, they also officially signed Thunder Rosa. Apparently, Tony Khan bought the contract for Thunder Rosa from Billy Corgan. So Thunder Rosa is going to be full-time with AEW. Now, the women's division, I understand. But again, then you're going to have to start putting on a couple of matches per show. You literally only have 3 hours a week. 3 hours a week, ideally, gains you how many matches? 8 matches a week. You have a roster of 50 people. it's very hard to keep people in front of the eyes of the public, because you got to figure, well, they're going to have to be short matches if they're 7 or 8 matches, and then we got to cut this guy's interview, and we got to cut this segment and that segment. I would argue that if you have a 2-hour show, you know, 5 matches could be enough if you're giving them 15 minutes apiece, right? By the time you cut out the commercials and the interviews and the plugging of whatever you're going to plug, 5 matches, 6 tops in 2 hours. That's not going to bode that well. Also, you also have to understand that AEW is their hardcore fans, most of whom are celebrating today, and that's good, but there's going to be those fans who say, wait a minute, you're taking Vince McMahon's approach. You're bringing old people back or in because your young people aren't cutting it. That's what Vince is doing when he brings back Goldberg, when he brings back The Undertaker, when he brings back, you know, whoever he's going to bring back, John Cena. It's because, well, we don't really have anybody here who's cutting it. Well, that's kind of the same thing AEW tends to look like when they say we're bringing in 40-something-year-old talent. Now, again, I think Daniel Bryan is a superb pickup because Daniel Bryan is the exact model of what AEW wants. He's a guy who understands the business, and he will help put people over. He will help build new stars. He will do some creative stuff for you. He will come up with ideas that's not just for him. And he'll get his wrestling matches out of it as well, which you'll benefit from. CM Punk coming in, I guarantee you, with the attitude of, what can AEW do for me? There's the difference. As opposed to Daniel Bryan coming in saying, how do I help AEW? CM Punk is going to come in saying, how do I milk AEW for all it's worth? That's what CM Punk is about. Period. This is a man who turned down a match at WrestleMania with Triple H and said that's not a big enough match. So you think he's going to walk around putting over MJF? He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. And then what happens? Also, he has been known to be a problem in the locker room. You start to get dissension in the locker room and people start to take sides, you've got a problem. So I hope that Tony Khan, there's nothing in Tony Khan's personality that makes me think he's going to sit CM Punk down and say no bullshit or this contract is null and void. Because CM Punk has this attitude of everything goes exactly my way or I just walk. I don't care if I ever wrestle again. I don't even like wrestling. This is a man who said wrestling is stupid and people who watch it are wasting their time. That's what he said. So you already know he's in it for the money. Daniel Bryan has been on record saying, if I were not able to wrestle in the WWE, I'd go back to wrestling in little small venues. I don't care. I just love to wrestle. CM Punk does not love to wrestle. If he loved to wrestle, the minute he left, he might have tried out UFC and then said, where do I get into a wrestling ring again because I miss it. He doesn't miss it. He is Bill Goldberg. How much money are you going to give me to do something I really don't really necessarily want to do, but if you're going to show me that much money, I'll do it? That's your hero. And then he's going to pretend to love it again. Oh, wrestling is my first love. Because look how many zeros they put on that contract. But I guarantee you, if somebody said don't sign on the dotted line with Tony Khan and we'll add an extra zero for you to host a fishing show, suddenly CM Punk would love fishing. And he'd be the foremost expert, by the way, on fishing. That's the CM Punk philosophy. Now, you can think he's a great wrestler, you can think he's great on the mic, whatever you want to say, that's your own personal opinion. But that is his personality. That is who he is outside of the ring. And that's very, very different than Daniel. So, Todd, I think it's a good pickup, a great pickup in Daniel Bryan, and I'm going to leave my thoughts on CM Punk until I see exactly what happens.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with CM Punk, in the past, he was not a team player with anybody. If you see people in AEW right now and under the current roster, is way different than CM Punk. Like guys like Matt Hardy, Colt Cabana, Christian Cage, and guys like that, and Chris Jericho, they're team players. They put younger talent over now.
Yeah, I don't see Punk as being that. Again, Punk's going to walk in there with the attitude that, well, I am AEW now. I'm the face of this company. I'm not taking any losses. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm only going to work when I want to work with who I want to work with, when I feel like working with them, as long as I want to work with them. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me what to say. Don't look at me sideways in the locker room or I think you're offended by me and I'm going to complain and get you fired. I'm not a huge fan of that type of mentality. Now, Kevin Owens, in an interview, had said that he had major problems with CM Punk and that they eventually came to be friends. But the way Kevin Owens said it is basically this. CM Punk basically told him, don't wrestle without a shirt because you're fat. Or you do wrestle with a shirt because you're fat or something like that. And he went out and I guess he wrestled with out of shirt or whatever, when he came back, he said to CM Punk in a joking manner, what are you looking at, or is that okay? And CM Punk took offense. I'll never work with Kevin Owens. I don't want to. You can't have these type of people. I'm telling you, this is not exact. And he said, oh, we worked it out later, but for a while we were on the outs. This is childlike behavior. Plus, Colt Cabana's there. Now, Colt Cabana sued CM Punk. They used to be the closest. Cabana sued him. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I'm not a big fan of when everything is working smooth. I'm not a big fan of throwing a monkey wrench into the works. I don't care how big a name that monkey wrench is. There was no way in God's green earth the WWE wants CM Punk back. They wouldn't even talk about it. Even with their ratings. And I want to remind you, Vince McMahon is the guy who signed the Ultimate Warrior back after the Ultimate Warrior basically blackmailed him. And held him for hostage, basically saying, I'm not even going out unless you give me more money and I want this and I want that. Still re-signed him. Re-signed Bret Hart after Bret Hart spit on him and punched him in the face. Signed Dusty Rhodes when they had major. And he's on record as saying the one person that will not come back to this company ever is CM Punk. There's got to be a reason for that. But I don't know, Tony Khan, so you impress me as the type of guy that isn't really too tough when it comes to negotiations or dealing with wrestlers. He reminds me of this dude who's just a starstruck fan who says, okay, you do what you want. And that's not going to fly with a guy like CM Punk. I'm not sure this is the greatest idea in the world. Let me just put it that way. The short-term benefits are going to be huge. CM Punk fans are going to tune in. You're going to get 1.4 million, you know, maybe more rating when he first shows up. First couple of weeks. But sometimes the ratings isn't the only thing you really need to worry about. And if your dressing room starts to be unhappy, start saying, well, as soon as CM Punk came in, I'm the forgotten guy. I don't want to wrestle here anymore. I was told that we were all going to be used to our best ability, and now I sit around watching CM Punk wrestle and have a 19-minute interview when my match was supposed to be up. And now my match is cut to 1 minute because CM Punk couldn't shut up. Yeah, we've heard that happen too, where CM Punk saying you would give him 5 minutes. go out there and do an interview in 5 minutes, and 11 minutes later, somebody's told, remember your 9-minute match? It's now a 2-minute match. Because Punk took up your time. We'll see how that flies. I would have waited, too. I'll tell you why I would have waited. If you just signed Daniel Bryan, don't you want that thunder for a little while? Maybe a month or two or three, and then here comes CM Punk, too. And you would have gotten much more for it than if you grouped them together and said, oh, we signed them both, but basically the same time. It almost undermines one or the other, depending on who you're a fan of. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, time will tell. I'm not sure this could backfire.
This could backfire, and the thing about it is, if you look at it, right now, I mean, even though he's not holding a title, you can make an argument that the face of AEW is Chris Jericho. You can make that argument.
I would say it's a very good argument.
Right, and if he wants to be the face of AEW, if Punk wants to be the face of AEW, then, I mean, we know that Jericho has some sort of an ego. You have to have an ego to be in that business, right? You know, a little bit of an ego. So,
yeah,
how's that going to fly with Chris Jericho if that's part of Punk's deal? Now, granted, as I've said before, yeah, she's been retired for 6 years, you know, AJ Lee, but she's just 34 years old, you know. So you could get another good 3-4 years out of AJ Lee if they go that route, if they make the deal and go that route. And I do agree with you, Marcus, that they're making a mistake bringing Daniel Bryan and CM Punk in basically at the same time. I mean, you know, you could sign them at the same time. Right, you can sign them at the same time. Just don't bring them in at the same time, right?
And don't announce the signing at the same time, because then it still kind of steals the thunder of one or the other. Listen, the thing is, you're supposed to have an ego in this business because, of course, you want to be the best, and of course you want what's best for your character, and you want the best matches you can have. And I get all that. But then there comes a time when you're no longer 28, 29, 30, you're 40. And in this business, you say, well, now it's a little different. I'm not looking to further my career because I've already had my career. Now I'm looking to help them build the future. So now my worth to this company that once was, let me have the best matches, let me be the main event. That's what I want. I feel I'm good enough. That's the hungry years. I want to be the main event. I'm the best wrestler in this locker room. That's good. That's healthy. That's ego, but it's good ego. I want to help this company. I know I can be the best. I know I can be the face of this company. Once you get into your 40s, you then take a different role, don't you? And you say, well, look, I can't be the face of this company at this stage of the game. That's why Chris Jericho is trying very hard to put the next person into his place. So let me instead help this company by, you want to give me a brief run as on the top, and then I'll start to, you know, put people over and help new talent come along. That's your worth to the company. What's AJ Styles doing? Is AJ Styles challenging for major belts right now? No. He's bringing along Almost, helping, further the tag team division a little bit that was weak. WWE had a very weak tag team division. They said, well, you know, AJ would add to it because he's got credibility. He's not saying, wait a minute, I should be the main event of WrestleMania. I should be the main event of SummerSlam. How come I'm not taking on Bobby Lashley? Not doing that. Because he understands, well, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. But really my work to this company now is to try to help out other aspects of this company. CM Punk's not going to have that attitude. He's not going to have that attitude. So we'll see what happens. But that is huge news. And I got news for you. If you're in the WWE, Maybe you're not worried about CM because you weren't going to sign him anyway. But you got to be very upset that you lost Daniel Bryan because you know what Daniel Bryan can bring to the table, not just in the ring. See, that's the thing. That's the difference. If it's just in the ring, you say, well, whatever. How long is he really going to be on top? He'll get a big pop for a couple of months, and then it will be okay. Daniel Bryan's over there. That's not what they're worried about. What they're worried about is that once Daniel Bryan helps them to get the eyes on the product, he can then say, you know, this guy and this guy, maybe we could do this with them. I was thinking maybe we could utilize this guy. He's that type of person. Look what he did with Drew Gulick, right? He's that type of person. In other words, he can scout people in your locker room and say, okay, let's push him. Let's put him in a program with him. And the next thing you know, not only did he help get eyes on the product, but now that the eyes are on the product, he's bringing along talent that people are saying, oh, I like that. I like this guy. Oh, I like this gimmick. I like this storyline. That doesn't even involve Daniel Bryan. WWE should steal. Anybody could bring eyes onto the product for a few months. My God, if they could go out and sign Hulk Hogan. And if Hulk Hogan came in, there's going to be a big fear for a month or two. And then people are going to be like, yeah, just like Sting, right? Anybody can bring eyes to the product for a little while. That's not what the WWE fears. What the WWE fears is the long-term ramifications of a man who knows the business inside and out and can help them grow. And that's Daniel Bryan. It's not CM Punk. That's Daniel Bryan. Simple as that. So that was the big one for me. But now if you're Malakai Black, you got to be saying, well, there goes my thunder. I thought I was going to be the biggest name signed in this company, and now here comes Daniel, and here comes Punk, and I'm going to be the guy that's like, well, sorry, Malakai, we had a gimmick for you, but the Punk ran 4 minutes over, and we got to get Daniel on this show, so maybe next week. You don't want to be that guy. So Tony Khan has to be very careful. Otherwise, you're going to get some disgruntled employees who are going to say this is bullshit and not what I was promised. And now all you're doing is bringing in already made names and you're forgetting about us. Now, I recently have said, and I stick to it, people who say all AEW does is sign people, you know, from WWE. Well, they want names. They want marquee names. They want big names. Where are you going to get a big name? What are you supposed to do? If a guy becomes available that the WWE does not sign, you're supposed to just say, well, I can't sign him because he used to be in the WWE. That's stupid. Of course you're going to sign. Of course you're going to sign. But that doesn't hold true with CM Punk. That holds true with Daniel Bryan. Of course you're going to sign Daniel Bryan. WWE failed to sign him. He's available. You'd be nuts not to sign him if you can. CM Punk is in obscure land somewhere. Still saying, I won both of those UFC fights in his mind. I'm not a fan of this for AEW. I wouldn't be a fan of it if it was in Impact. I wouldn't be a fan of it if it was in WWE. I'd be more of a fan of it if it was in WWE because they would keep him on a reign enough so that his ego couldn't really get in the way. I don't think AEW is going to do that. You watch. If CM Punk comes in there, he will be the main event every single friggin' week. He will be the main event on their pay-per-views. He will be main event, main event, main event, and all these other guys who used to be main event are going to say, well, I guess we're out of it now. Not going to drop to nobody. Not going to help young talent. He's not going to do any of that. Unless his attitude has severely changed, he's not going to do any of that. Anyway, let's move on and talk about something else interesting. The WWE has basically indicated that they will indeed have The Rock for the Survivor Series and probably WrestleMania. Now, this may change what's happening with Money in the Bank. because initially the idea was that Big E would probably end up going to Raw, reuniting with the New Day, maybe take on Bobby Lashley. Now the rumor is maybe they'll keep him where he is because The Rock and Roman Reigns would be such a huge match. It doesn't need to be for the title. In fact, the title would probably undermine it because The Rock can't win it. And everybody knows The Rock can't. So if The Rock can't win it, you've already got the guaranteed The Rock's not winning the match thing. Whereas if Roman doesn't have that belt for a short period of time, The Rock certainly could win the match. Even if he doesn't, at least the audience doesn't know for sure. So there is some rumor that Big E might actually take that belt in a fashion that's not going to be so heroic. During a weakest moment in Roman Reigns, one of Roman Reigns' matches, keep it for just that short period of time until Roman and The Rock is finished, probably at WrestleMania, and then probably drop it back to Roman. So that's interesting because this has now changed what the WWE is thinking about possibly doing. And I think I agree with them, Mike, that if you're going to have The Rock and Roman Reigns solo match anyway, maybe it's better for not being for a title, because if it is for a title, we already know the ending.
Right, and that's the thing. You already know the ending, and so why not? And, you know, you could probably put off the reunion of the New Day for a little bit more. You know, because you know what's going to happen with that. You know that when they stick their heads out of that curtain and they're together, it's going to blow the roof off the place. You know that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Give Big E a possible
start. Yeah, I think CM Punk is going to be I guess you think CM Punk is going to be a huge asset. And you're saying it's going to light a fire under the WWE. No, it's not. Why would it? If you had somebody on your ball team that was causing nothing but trouble, all the players didn't want to play with them. Everybody's complaining, that guy's an idiot. I'm sick of him. I'm quitting the freaking team. I'm tired of this guy. I'm tired of him. He's problems in the locker room. He won't talk to anybody. He thinks he's better than us. I hate him. I don't like him. Blah, 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 blah. And another team says, we signed him. Are you going to say, uh-oh. Oh, my gosh. There goes one of our best players. You're going to say, good riddance. Let him go over and poison your team. Let him go over and cause that crap on your team now. And now you'll see who he is. That's what I worry about with AEW. You got to remember, they tried to sign him to begin with, and they said, here's what Cody Rhodes said. We laid out an offer. We laid out plans that we would have for him, who he would wrestle, what he would do. We had serious talks. And he said no. And when CM Punk was asked about it, he said they weren't serious. It was just, they didn't put anything on the table. To the point where Tony Khan actually said, look, we don't need him, with that kind of an attitude. That's what Tony Khan said. Now all of a sudden Tony Khan is, oh, we got him. So you think his attitude's improved? What ended up happening, let me be perfectly blunt. Here's the difference between Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. Daniel Bryan said, I want to wrestle very badly, and the WWE is not allowing me to do it. First, they think I'm too injured and they don't want to be responsible if something horrible happens to me. Secondly, I'm getting older and they don't consider me a top, top, top tier guy anymore, especially with my injuries. And before I get too old, I would like to go and put on some really, really, really good matches because I love wrestling. So even though I love the WWE, and I'm grateful to the WWE, they can't really give me what I want because what I want is to wrestle and to really help a company and to get back to, at least for a year, my top level and know that I finished my career doing some great, great matches, and then I'll help build up some talent. CM Punk's attitude is wrestling is stupid. Fans are stupid. The whole entire gimmick is dumb. I don't like it. But I tried UFC and I got my ass beat. I tried acting and I suck. I tried hosting a show and I wasn't very good and I didn't draw any ratings there. I don't really have a lot of career options and I'm starting to get older and my money's getting thin. So if you're going to give me this type of money and tell me you can do anything you want, you can write your own ticket, tell us who you want to fight, tell us what the ending's going to be, tell us what your character's going to be, I guess I'll do it. I got nothing better to do. You see the difference in attitude? One is I love wrestling and I want to do it. The other one is I hate wrestling, but if you're going to throw this kind of money at me and let me call my shot, I guess I'll grace you with my presence. It's a big difference. The first one I want on my team, the second one I don't. Period. You can't compare him to Goldberg, and I'll tell you why you can't compare him to Goldberg. Goldberg loses when he's told to lose. Goldberg doesn't say, I'm only going to come back. You think he's going to beat Lashley? I'm only going to come back if I come out on top. Otherwise, I don't want to hear it. You can't compare him to Eva Marie. Eva Marie hasn't even wrestled. When she does, she looks terrible. And she looks like she can't wrestle, and she's always getting her ass kicked. She never has the upper hand. So it's not like she's got an attitude of, well, I want to win. I want to be the woman's champion immediately. It's apples and oranges. Imagine right now if the WWE said I could sign a wrestler, some big name, maybe from Japan. But if I do that, he immediately has to tap out Roman Reigns or Bobby Lashley. People that's under them, he's just going to demolish. He's going to take up most of the airtime. You want that guy on your show? I don't. I'll stay put with who I have. That's the difference, in my opinion, Mike, between the two.
Right. You know, when, like, the great Muda or the great Kabuki or Masato Tanaka, guys like that, when they came over, they weren't looking to be, yes, the event, in the case of Masato Tanaka, he eventually did hold the ECW championship. But he wasn't looking to do that, right? So, you know, this is, they got to watch this, does AEW. He could become a cancer. And look, Daniel Bryan, look, he's going to, we talk about the young talent that's there in AEW, Guevara and MJF and Jungle Boy and stuff like that. Particularly with Jungle Boy, you know, guys like that, that's not tied with, like, a Jericho or like, MJF is tied with Tully Blanchard that can help him out. Particularly with Jungle Boy, you put Jungle Boy in a match with, in a program with, you know, Daniel Bryan, and he can't do nothing but help Jungle Boy.
Right. No, exactly. See, the difference, I think what most people are not understanding, you can't compare. You can say, well, Goldberg insisted on beating The Fiend, but he didn't insist on beating Roman. He didn't insist on beating Brock. He's not insisting on beating Lashley. And he's not a weekly performer. If you told me CM Punk is going to come in twice a year and he's going to win both times in AEW, I don't have a problem with that. I do not have any problem with that at all. Because he's a huge name. Of course, if you're bringing him in for a special event, he's going to win. That's what the crowd's going to want to see anyway. And, of course, he's going to win. But Bill Goldberg ain't there every week. Bill Goldberg isn't taking up television time from other people. That's the difference. He just comes out, does his match. That's it for 6 months. You want to tell me CM Punk's going to do that? I'm all for that. But that's not what CM Punk's going to do. Anyway, let's get on to the Karrion Kross thing because we have some very interesting information. On this week's NXT, Karrion Kross's entrance had to be reshot. The reason it had to be reshot, fans were chanting Hardy at him, and NXT didn't want it. So they lied to the fans, and they told the fans, stick around afterwards, something special is going to happen, and so don't leave when the show is over. Guess what happened? He came out again, and they shot that whole scene again, this time without the Hardy chant. Now, knuckleheads, I don't care how long they've been in the business. Listen, there's people who've been in this business 50 years, and they're still an idiot. People that have been in this business for a cup of coffee, and they're brilliant when it comes to professional wrestling. Some chucklehead says, oh, the fans don't understand. Jeff Hardy's a legend. There was no problem with Jeff Hardy beating him. He cheated. Don't you understand? He cheated. He cheated to win. There's a story being told here. Let me explain something to you. Jeff Hardy has been used as a mid-carder who has been beaten fiercely by just about everybody. Cedric Alexander took him to the ring. Where's Cedric now? Squashed by most people in under 5 minutes. That's what he's been used for the past 6 or 7 months. Enter Karrion Kross, undefeated. You say you care so much about Finn Balor. Finn Balor helped to put him over as one of the toughest people in the business. So did Adam Cole. So did Johnny Gargano. So did everybody who lost to Karrion Kross. They put him over as, man, this guy is the real deal. And they were told that's what you're supposed to do. You're losing to him because he's our big name now. All of these guys who put so much hard work into helping get Karrion Kross over, you just spit right in their face. 40-something-year-old mid-carder who wrestles on television once in a blue moon, beats him in under 2 minutes, and I don't give a damn if you tell me there's a story involved. What's the story? That Hardy's just so much better than Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole and all those people that, Adam Cole would have never thought about cheating to beat Karrion Kross, right? Not Adam Cole. He's not clever enough to put his feet on the rope. Please. Please. I don't care. If you've wrestled for 40 years and you're telling me this is a good angle, you're wrong. It's not debatable. It's a horrible angle because there's no payoff. If he puts Jeff Hardy out of the sport, or the business for life, it's still not a good enough payoff. And I'll tell you why. Because fans are going to say, but he's still very beatable. I mean, he got beat with a little roll-up and a foot on a rope like a preliminary guy. He's not this big, tough guy that kicks out of everything. He couldn't even kick out of Jeff Hardy having his feet on the ropes. That's the image you're left with. Don't believe me? Why were fans chanting the Hardy? Why were they chanting the Hardy? To embarrass Karrion Kross. Because they knew how embarrassing that was. And then the WWE, in their infinite wisdom, says, oh, he put out Samoa Joe, and now he's going to have to face Samoa Joe, but this is going to be the toughest match in Joe's career. Can Samoa Joe conquer the unconquerable? Well, I hope he can, because Jeff Hardy certainly. If I'm Samoa Joe, I'm furious, because the whole idea behind this is no one beats Karrion Kross. No one can really match him in his power and his ferocity and his toughness. Along comes Samoa Joe, who says, I'm going to stick up for Regal, and I'm not taking no shit from Karrion Kross. I'm just as tough as he is, and I can prove it. And you got the battle of these two guys where people say, oh, shit. You know what that would be like? It would be like Andre the Giant is fighting Hulk Hogan. But before Andre the Giant fights Hulk Hogan, he has to get by Jeff Hardy, and Jeff Hardy beats him with a wrap-up. And Andre bugs his eyes out of his head and says, no, no, his feet was on the rope. And then we go into WrestleMania 3 saying, I wonder if Hogan can beat him. That's virtually what you did. Virtually what you did. Absolutely no sense, Mike. It was a horrible decision.
Right. I gave you another good analogy. It'd be like the Brooklyn Brawler wrapping up Hulk Hogan. You know? Exactly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's just terrible.
You know what the Brooklyn Brawler was, right? You know what he was. You know, he was an enhancement talent guy that barely won a lot of times. In fact, he's the guy that you stepped over to get the step closer to Hulk Hogan, right? So
yes.
Why would the Brooklyn Brawler wrap up Hulk Hogan when if Hulk Hogan is supposed to be all that tough? Well, if the Brooklyn Brawler wraps him up, then why can't, I don't know, Andre the Giant or Roddy Piper or
right.
any one of those
yes.
guys?
Yes. Now, if you told me, look, here's what we're going to do, Marcus. We got a new guy. I don't know what new guy you're bringing in, but let's say you're bringing in a guy. We got a guy who, or maybe he's been there a few weeks or whatever, and we want to really push this guy. So we're going to have Karrion Kross issue a challenge, and there's nobody, to him anyway, is coming out. And he's going to laugh about it. Who's this idiot? And he's going to destroy him for about 6 minutes, keep picking him up, saying, oh, no, you challenged me. This ain't over. And then he gets a quick wrap up, 1, 2, 3, and the kid wins. At least you could say, all right, we get the point. Kross was totally overconfident. This kid is a lot better than we thought. And besides that, the WWE really wants to promote him as somebody coming in, you know, into his own. So he got a huge win over Karrion Kross. Okay. It proves the kid is tough. It proves the kid can take a beating. And it proves he keeps thinking and he's going to be somebody in this federation. Jeff Hardy is not that guy. He's not your young, new talent you want to push. So why did you pick Jeff Hardy to do it? If you're going to have anybody beat Karrion Kross, could it be someone who is going to be a future champion in the WWE? Could it be someone that at least you say, okay, well, I'm shocked he beat Karrion Kross, but, you know, he is going to be a big star here, so I guess we get it. The WWE is very solid on him. How come that can't happen? No, it's got to be Jeff Hardy. 40-something-year-old Jeff Hardy, it's got to be. At the end of his career. You're not pushing Jeff Hardy. Why would you give a major win to a guy, Todd, that you have absolutely no plans to push?
You're absolutely right there, like you said, about Jeff Hardy and everything. And you have no, they have no plans to push him. Why he's winning matches? You're there.
Karrion Kross is hard to rehab now. And all of the thunder has gone out of the Samoa Joe match. You've taken all of the thunder out of that Samoa Joe match. You had a really good thing going there. A really good thing. All the WWE had to do. Number one, even with my scenario, with a new guy, I would not have had Karrion Kross lose before Samoa Joe. Absolutely not. What I would have had Karrion Kross do is come out there and tear the head off somebody. You don't want it to be Jeff Hardy? Fine. Make it be another preliminary wrestler. But have him tear the head off somebody and say, I'm just here to show Samoa Joe I can go anywhere I want and be undefeated. That way, you're building up Joe. Can Joe do this? You've taken all the thunder away from Samoa Joe now. Imagine that you worked a program with a guy. Imagine it was going to be, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. And they're damn near killing each other every week. They're fighting in the parking lots and everything. And you're like, man, I can't wait to see. I just can't wait to see these people fight. Who's going to win? I have no idea. And then Jeff Hardy wraps up Adam Cole on a Raw 1-2-3. And you're like, okay, well, then I guess Kyle O'Reilly should be able to. It doesn't work. You've stolen Samoa Joe's moment. If Samoa Joe wins now, it's like, yeah, big deal. So did Jeff Hardy. You can't pull that away from Samoa Joe. And I'm telling you, I half think the WWE did that on purpose. to poke their finger in the eye of Triple H, who signed Samoa Joe, begged to have Samoa Joe in NXT after they let him go. Oh, you're going to make him your big star? Well, we'll just take the thunder out of his match, won't we? We'll take his undefeated opponent and we'll throw it to a guy we're using as a jabron over you. And then your big match is ruined, Samoa Joe. If I'm Samoa Joe, I'm furious. And I don't care how many chuckleheads in the wrestling business tell me, oh, the storyline's going to play out. It's going to play out how? That Jeff Hardy lit a fire under Karrion Kross. I thought Karrion Kross was always on fire. But Jeff Hardy is doomed now, and Karrion Kross is going to be his worst enemy. I don't care. That this week Karrion Kross is going to beat him so bad he's carried out in a stretcher. Big deal. He still beat him. There is no rehabbing. There is no payoff. Don't tell me there's a payoff. There isn't one. That's worth this. There is none. You absolutely blew it. And he did it on purpose. I mean, there's no maybe about this. Someone had to okay Jeff Hardy wrapping up Karrion Kross with a little roll-up with his feet on the ropes. You know who loses when someone puts their feet on the ropes? How many times have you seen Charlotte Flair put her feet on the ropes and somebody kicks out? Oh, she tried to cheat, but strong, they're not going to. Oh, I see. Karrion Kross isn't too strong. String bean Jeff Hardy at 201 pounds. As soon as he puts his foot on the second rope, that's too much. Karrion Kross couldn't possibly be strong enough to kick out of that, huh? Awful. Awful. How would I have booked it? Somebody's writing, well, then how would you have booked it? I'll tell you how I would have booked it. If you want my honest opinion, I'll tell you how I would have booked it. I would have had Karrion Kross mauling Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy has to win. That's what the guy's saying. If Jeff Hardy has to win, how would you book it? Okay. Karrion Kross is mauling Jeff Hardy. Samoa Joe shows up. Maybe Karrion Kross goes out, gets a chair. He's going to smash Jeff Hardy really good. Doesn't care if he's disqualified. Samoa Joe shows up. Karrion Kross is distracted, starts yelling at Joe, and gets wrapped up 1, 2, 3. Then at least you'd say, well, now he's really mad at Joe. Joe caused that to happen. Jeff Hardy wasn't beating nobody. At least it furthers the feud. Again, let me go back to the Andre the Giant reference. That Andre was, the whole idea was the undefeated, even though he was defeated many times, Andre the Giant against the undefeated, even though he was defeated many times, Hulk Hogan. And they didn't have Hulk Hogan or Andre the Giant take a loss on their way to fighting each other. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Well, we had a little news about MJF is a great, by the way. He's a great bad guy, and he's very witty, but he is not quite The Miz. And apparently MJF had posted some shit, and The Miz just kind of owned him on Twitter, so MJF actually deleted his tweet, which I thought was pretty funny because it goes to show you, you know, listen, as good as MJF is, Miz is very, very good at what he does. Okay, very, very good at what he does. MJF's got a lot of years of catching up to do. He's going to be one of the great ones. But right now, you don't get in a Twitter war with The Miz. You're not going to win it. Aside from that, what we're hearing is that SummerSlam is going to be actually broadcast to movie theaters in some states. That's how big they're going to make SummerSlam. Stephanie McMahon has said SummerSlam is actually going to be WrestleMania in the sense that we couldn't have a perfect WrestleMania the way we wanted. SummerSlam is going to be this year's WrestleMania. It's going to be broadcast in 33 states on different movie screens. It's going to be obviously sold out in the arena. It's going to be huge. Which means that we probably are going to see all of the top matches for that year there. And also, we're probably going to see the return of Bray Wyatt, because what we're hearing is that with the WWE now feeling Big E's going to stay where he is and maybe challenge Roman or maybe even beat Roman after a match temporarily and be a temporary champion, they've decided that maybe the guy who will attack either Goldberg or Lashley will be the Fiend. Probably happen at SummerSlam. Now, it better not be Goldberg, and I don't think it can be, because what people are saying is Goldberg has two matches a year. Well, this is the second one that's it. I don't think Goldberg has another match on his contract unless they want to pay him more money or something. And anyway, who wants to see Goldberg and the Fiend? If it's the Fiend and Bobby Lashley, that could be interesting. Although, once again, I don't know why you're trying to make the Fiend a good guy. I know he's popular, but just let him be a popular bad guy, because he doesn't work that well as a good guy. He doesn't work that well as a face. Fans are going to cheer him anyway, so what's the difference? It was like Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper is better as the heel, and he didn't really change all that much, even when he was the face. He just kind of changed who he did it to. He didn't change his attitude. He didn't become, oh, I'm going to be a very polite talk show host, and I'm going to say only nice things to be. No, no, he was still rude and obnoxious. He was just rude and obnoxious to the bad guys. So, I don't know, Mike, and by the way, what they're saying now, I haven't confirmed it, but what I'm hearing is that Bray Wyatt was not out because of what happened during the Randy Orton match, and they just wanted to make fans forget. I'm hearing that Bray Wyatt was out for medical reasons, which they're keeping private. I don't know. I know Bray Wyatt had that severe pneumonia. Remember when he was with tag team with Matt Hardy? Yeah, that severe pneumonia. And, Mike, it appears that maybe he, you know, has some kind of medical issue, but advertised, I think, for SummerSlam or just after.
Who knows what he had, you know? I mean, if that's what you're hearing, then I got to go with it. But, yeah, you're right. And, look, here's the deal. A lot of times, I call it a forced flip, you know? They force a flip, you know? If they're going to try and force a flip of the Fiend, then it's not going to work. Whereas there are times when the fans organically flip a wrestler, you know?
Yep.
And it appears before Bray Wyatt went out, it appears that was going to happen. It was before all the crap with the virus, you know, came up, it appears that's what was going to happen, was the fans were going to organically flip the Fiend. It was in their plans to flip him, but it's better if they do that. And look, it's better if the fan, he's a gray area good guy. He can get it done, but, you know, he can win, but, you don't know if he's going to cheat at any given time, or you don't know if he's just a, you know, no-sell, whatever, you know.
Right.
That's what you want from the Fiend. If you're going to be a good guy, if you're going to try and make him a good guy, it's not going to work. He's got to be that gray area, kind of stone cold, Steve Austin kind of good guy, you know?
Yeah, he could be the bad guy who just targets heels, that's all. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, I know we lost the chat room a minute or two ago, but I do want to comment on something that Derek had said in the chat room, which is, he said, I'm confused of why you gave Last Raw a C-minus and not an F, considering how bad the Karrion Kross thing was. Well, here's the deal. If you get seven wrong answers on a 10-question quiz, it's a 30. It's not a zero. So I can't give it a complete F, because not everything on the show was bad. Nikki Cross won the women's championship. Someone who worked very, very hard to change her character that the WWE thought was not working. Now, Nikki Cross could have just said, okay, well, I'll just sit around catering and I'll wait. until you come up with something for me. Instead, she pitched this idea. She reinvented herself. She made Vince McMahon sit up and take notice. And in turn, whether she keeps it a week or a year, she won the women's championship. And she won Money in the Bank. I cannot give a show an F that has a worker reinvent herself and literally win a belt. I can't give that an F. I don't care if Karrion Kross got pinned. That's a mistake, and it's a huge, huge mistake. But it's not. It doesn't make the whole show terrible when Nikki Cross is holding up the women's belt at the end of it. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. At least not to me. You know, that's one huge, giant, glaring mistake that the WWE made. But giving Nikki Cross the belt even temporarily is a very positive thing. Because it means you're trying harder to make more of the women's division really solid. If you can get Nikki Cross over as a former champion, someone who's tougher than she looks, that can take people out. I know, you know, she cashed in the Money in the Bank on a weak Charlotte Flair. I get it. But if you let her hold it for a few weeks, or at least until SummerSlam or whatever, at least you got one more person there who you can say, look, this is a quality competitor in the women's division. Before that, she was a joke. So that's why I didn't give it an F, Todd, because, you know, there were things on that show that weren't that bad.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said about the Nikki Cross thing. Like you said, I didn't give that show an F either because of that. I kind of like the...
Well, you understand that one poor guy took 20 chair shots with that. 20. And he's not even wrestling for them. He's just coming out as entourage for Jinder Mahal. And he did it to help get Drew McIntyre back over. And guess what? It worked. Drew McIntyre got a smattering of cheers when he was in the back during an interview. He got a smattering of cheers when he came out. After 20 chair shots, he got roars from the crowd. So that was a good thing. So sometimes you have to, you can't let the, you know, you can't be blinded. You can't not see the forest for the trees. Yes, Karrion Kross was a horrible mistake. Horrible. Just awful. But there were a couple of things on that show, Mike, that were positive for the future.
Yeah, when you got, I mean, I cannot in good conscience give that show an F when you've got the Nikki Cross thing. When you've got, you know, I mean, look, anytime you see, Bobby Lashley is champion, okay, but anytime you see a guy that with his mouth can make you sit up and take notice, and that's MVP, you know, with MVP there, I mean, I cannot, with MVP, with The Miz, you know, and Morrison and stuff like that, I cannot in good conscience give, I mean, yeah, I can give it a D, D plus, D minus, D, D, but I cannot give it in good conscience an F. When you got that much going.
That means it's a total failure. It wasn't a total failure. Nikki Cross won the championship. That's not a total failure. It's not a total failure at all. We got a possibility. Goldberg returns. If he had won the belt, if Goldberg came out, challenged instead of Keith Lee, and won the damn title, it would have been very close to an F. Very close. But it still wouldn't have been a complete F because Nikki Cross won the championship, and that has to give you at least a half a grade up. So if the rest of the show was horrid, it's still a D-minus. Still a D-minus. I gave it a C-minus because I actually liked the McIntyre spot with the chairs. I thought that was pretty good. And I actually liked the fact that if, again, I'm a big Keith Lee fan. Do I think they're misusing Keith Lee? Yes. Do I think it was a very powerful statement, though, for Bobby Lashley to get by Keith Lee? Yeah, I do. Okay, so the WWE decided Keith Lee is not the guy right now. So Keith Lee's job is to put over the guy they think is the guy, and it's quite obviously Bobby Lashley, and he put him over. And putting him over, it makes Lashley look damn near unbeatable. So he did his job. So I might disagree with the result of that match. I might disagree with how they used Keith Lee and say you could have used somebody else. But at the end of the day, if the WWE tells me, if I'm a writer for them and they tell me, look, Keith Lee for the next 6 months, he's just cycled down. He's going to be mid-card, you know, maybe he'll challenge for a mid-card championship, but he's not going to be our main eventer. And we're going to put him against Lashley. Okay, and Lashley's got to put him away. It's just as simple as that. You've got bigger plans for Lashley, and you have no plans for Lee, then okay. Fine. So as bad as I felt for Keith Lee, I didn't take that as a horrible incident. Should have been reversed. Should have had Goldberg challenge and lose. Set up Keith Lee at SummerSlam. I said that, and I mean it. But at the end of the day, I understand why you did it. It's not necessarily wrong, it's just my taste. What is wrong, regardless of what anybody says, is Karrion Kross losing. Before a main event, big match on an NXT show. That is unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Anyway, what are we going to see tonight? Well, I'll tell you the truth, is going to be very, very interesting. John Cena said he's going to be there. He's going to confront Roman Reigns. We will see where this goes. My caution to the WWE is do not throw all of your eggs in the John Cena basket, because we all know he's not staying and we all know he's losing. Or if there's no way possible that John Cena will take that title. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, yes, he will, because they want him to break the record. Nah, John Cena doesn't even want the record. He said so. John Cena's not winning. Especially if you got Big E in the wings and you're thinking maybe we're going to do that and then The Rock is on the way. Not going to happen. See, they can have Big E take the belt and not make Roman look weak if that's what they want. Hell, they could do it at SummerSlam if they wanted. John Cena could lose by cheating, wipe the ground with both Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso, and give Roman Reigns about 14 reality checks and doing the you can't see me, and here comes Big E to just cover him. Doesn't make Roman Reigns look weak. Makes Big E look like an opportunist. It doesn't make Big E look heroic, that's for sure. I don't get it. But if that's what you want to do so that The Rock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania doesn't become predictable, overly predictable, okay. Okay, I can see that. So, I mean, it should be interesting to see what they have planned, Mike. We should know a little bit more after tonight.
And frankly, after they get past this and the whole Roman Reigns Rock deal, there are bigger plans. You know, yeah, you can, yeah, temporary, not temporary, but temporary championship for Big E possible here. Number one, and then of course the thing with getting the New Day back together, of course, and then of course after they get past the Roman Reigns Rock deal, there are other branches on the Roman Reigns Uso head of the table tree that they haven't really explored yet, you know, including getting Naomi involved. But that's down the line. That's after if the plan is Roman Reigns and The Rock, right?
You know, it may even be down the line, Mike, because they have now officially announced that Naomi has moved to SmackDown. And you have to think that the reason, there's only one reason for that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be one reason.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is only one reason for that, and of course, we still have yet to see what they're going to do with this draft. You know, I mean,
yeah,
they could very easily draft Naomi to SmackDown.
They did already.
Very easily.
Naomi's already on.
Okay.
Naomi's on SmackDown. They've already drafted her.
Okay,
she
so.
is, yep, she's officially joining SmackDown probably tonight. So that's why I said there's only one reason that they would do that. I imagine they're going to hook her up with Roman Reigns' crew. Otherwise, why move her? Why move her before the draft? There's only one reason I can think of, and that is they're going to join her with that. That is a very good idea. Very good idea. And I don't know what they're going to do with her. I don't know whether she's going to be the face who says, Jimmy, you got to get away from Roman. He's not in your best interest, or she is going to be lured in. I don't know. But at least it's branches on the tree. At least you've got some choice. So I'll be looking forward to that. I think you'll probably see Naomi tonight, and we'll know a little bit more. She may not be with Roman Reigns tonight, but if they just say, oh, you know, Naomi's over here and her husband, Jimmy Uso, is also over here, then you'll know. If they start mentioning, you know, that's her husband, then you'll know. It's coming. I'm looking forward to that. I think that could be a great angle, and that could help the women's division so much. So much. Probably looking at the return of Becky Lynch on SmackDown, too. Not tonight, but soon. And I would argue that you could make a pretty good match if you had Roman Reigns. You may even get a mixed tag team match. You might even get like Roman Reigns and Naomi against Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. There's a lot of things you could do, a lot of branches on the tree. WWE does have to understand one thing, though. And this is the last thing I'll say before we close. 1.4 million or 1.5 million fans is not a ton of people for Raw, not a ton of people at all. And when Daniel Bryan and CM Punk debut in AEW, I would be shocked if they don't break that. I would be shocked. If they announce that ahead of time, you're going to see Daniel Bryan and CM Punk on this show, they're going to do the 1.4. They're going to come so close to Raw that it's going to be scary. So if the WWE hasn't taken them seriously before, you better start taking them seriously now. Because if they outdo Raw, the USA Network is going to go berserk. Simple as that. Now, you're not going to outdo SmackDown. They're not going to do 2.4 million. They're just not going to. I don't care. I don't care if you had CM Punk against Daniel Bryan. They're not doing 2.1 million. But Raw, Mike, they could potentially surpass them one week, and that would be something.
Right, and that's the thing. That's the thing. If you're – Raw is, for lack of a better term, Raw for – what, 25, 30 years has been their flagship show, right? Yeah, SmackDown was moving all over the place, and WB and all kinds of other places and stuff like that until it looks like it's found its home on Fox for at least the time being. But Raw had been their national show. Now, if a fledgling young company like you know, AEW is beating you in the ratings, be it the fact that they're on a different night, but beating you in the ratings nonetheless, and you're supposedly their flagship show, yeah, USA has a right to go berserk, you know. And frankly, look, I've said this before about Paul Heyman. To my knowledge, Paul Heyman has not yet managed a woman. That would make that another interesting aspect. If you've got Paul Heyman being the mouthpiece for Naomi.
I agree with that. And yeah, what's the ramifications if they do start coming very close or actually beat and surpass Raw for a few weeks? Well, many people are saying the minute that Vince McMahon found out that AEW was beating on a regular basis NXT in the ratings, Vince McMahon lost all interest in NXT. So what happens if they beat Raw, Vince? You're going to lose all interest in Raw? Think about that for a minute. So this will be very interesting. The only other thing I want to say is this. AEW now has enough people. Imagine if Raw and SmackDown, say you tune into SmackDown tonight and they said, okay, after SummerSlam, we're all one federation. What would the first thing be that you would say? This isn't good. Because that means that certain people like Ricochet and Humberto Rio and maybe Damian Priest and Keith Lee, they're not going to have any time on the show. Because by the time we get done with the Usos and the Roman Reigns storyline and the Bobby Lashley storyline and the Drew McIntyre storylines and the Seth Rollins storylines and the tag team storylines and the women's storylines, we're not going to have any time. We're just not going to have any time. Because we got too many people. I don't want AEW to become that. I don't want AEW to become a federation where you say, oh, yeah, I saw that guy like a month ago. I barely remember what they're doing with that storyline. That's not good. So don't go there. You've got enough people now. And if you really did sign CM Punk, and I know you signed Daniel Bryan, you've got enough names now. Names. Run with it. Run with it and see what you can do. Don't keep signing anymore. There's no need for any more. You don't have 10 shows. You have two. Total of 3 hours. Just keep what you got on that roster and you'll be fine. This is the icing on the cake for AEW. You don't have to keep piling on the icing or people are going to forget about the cake.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.